Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week. Rabbi Beryl Wein, before we talk about the parsha of the week, I hear that you have a new film coming out. Could you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, this is a 1 hour, 9 minute dramatization of the life of Maimonides, of Rabbeinu Moshe Ben Maimon. Mm-hmm. It's part of the series we did, our foundation, Destiny, made a movie about Rashi 3 years ago, and then This is the second one in the series. It's a beautiful film and original music. And
how do you actually portray Rambam?
Well, we do it through animation, adult paintings.
Uh-huh.
I tell you the truth, I really didn't want to have an actor's face portray the Rambam.
I figured not.
But we have professional actors are the voices. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nimoy is the voice of the Rambam.
Leonard Nimoy.
Yes, he's
Mr.
the voice
Spock.
Of the Rambam. And Armand Asante is the leading character actor in the movie. And we have, really, it's very, very professionally done. And it's a fascinating movie. He had a fascinating life.
And how can people listening to us via the computer net, how can they actually find out where they can see the movie?
Well, you can go to my website, rabbiwein.com, mm-hmm. and that will have all the information on it. And the premiere in New York is going to be November 7th, and the premiere here in Jerusalem is going to be December 20th.
Okay, looking forward to it. As we get a little closer to the
we'll get you a press
event,
pass.
We want to find out more about it. All right, so what parsha are we talking about
this
week?
We're talking about Chayei Sarah, the life of our mother Sarah. The Torah tells us really of her passing. And the first part of the parsha concerns itself with our father Avraham having to purchase a gravesite for her. And the rabbis always singled out this incident to show that you cannot presume things. God's promises are valid. They never come up short, but they are not always the way we interpret them to be. Mm-hmm. And here God tells Avraham, I'm giving you this land to you and your children, you know, the whole land from, as our cousins would say, from the river to the sea, and it's all going to be yours. And then, you know, now he's got to bury his wife,
and he
has no land. He has nowhere to do it. He has to go to the B'nai Ches, a tribe that lives near Hebron. And they're very respectful. They appreciate Avraham. They say, Nasi Elohim ato b'socheinu, you're the Prince of God, whatever you want, etc. But the bottom line ends up that he pays 400 shekel for a grave. 400 shekel in the ancient world, in the time of Avraham, the average worker made 2 or 3 shekel a year.
Very substantial sum.
So it's a very substantial, it's like 100 years' wages, over 100 years' wages. And he pays that amount, and he pays it in mint coin. So, and he doesn't say to God, but, you know, what happened to your promise? Why didn't you come through when I needed you? And we see that later, Rashi points that out by Moshe in the beginning of the education of Moshe as the leader of the Jewish people. So God tells Moshe, you know, come to the Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, and I'm going to get you out, and you'll see, And he comes, and the situation gets worse. The Pharaoh hardens his heart. He doesn't provide raw materials anymore for the bricks. Jewish children are thrown in the Nile and are mortared into the walls. Jews are in far worse situation than they were before Moshe came. So Moshe comes and complains to God. Yeah, but you promised. So God says, you know, I regret those that went before you because they never said that. I think the clear implication here is that God is to be trusted and his promises are valid, but it's not necessarily subject to our immediate interpretation of the facts. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of, a great problem that afflicts the Jewish world today is everybody presumes to know God's mind from the extreme left to the extreme right, from the atheistic Jew who knows that God doesn't care, to the very observant and intense Jew who, you know, who has a very narrow focus and thinks that he's doing exactly what God wants him to do, and he has never has a moment of self-doubt. God is pretty inscrutable in all of these things. And therefore, God's promise to Avraham certainly is valid. And we're living proof to it that it's valid, because here we are, when there's just no logical reason in the world why we should be here. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to necessarily play out in our scenario. And Avraham realizes that, and therefore, if it costs 400 shekel, it costs 400 shekel, right? So to speak, we'll straighten it out later, you know, yeah. Bring him the receipt. We'll see what he says then. But right now, this is the reality that we live in. And Jews have to always remember that we live in reality. We live in a real world. And we live here with all of the faith in God and all of the trust in God's word and promises, but also with all of the real problems that face us and real solutions that we have to come up with. And so to speak, you know, you cannot substitute one's own conception of what God should do for what really is happening in front of us. I really think that that's the lesson of Chaye Sarah.
Rabbi Beryl Wine with a dose of reality. You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wine talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.